are recording now.
Now we're recording?
Yeah, we are.
Right now?
Right now. Right this second.
Bet you guys didn't think you'd hear from us so soon. But we're back. Fastcast 10.
Let's do it.
Let's race! Welcome, everybody, to Radiovania Presents Fastcast. This is our 10th episode for the main films. This is technically our 11th episode of Fastcast. I'm John Swansong Parker, and sitting across from my octagon-shaped table, it's not a stop sign because there's no stop signs in Fast and Furious, but he's ready to go. Zach, what's up, buddy?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
That's all I want to say is I'm ready.
So we...
Vroom.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff we want to talk about, so I'm just going to go ahead and breeze through some of the quick plugs. Check us out, radiovania.com. Mm. Hit up Radiovania Show on Instagram, Radiovania on Twitter, and send emails to radiovaniashow@gmail.com. That being said, this is our second Fastcast that we've done in a row. We're taking a little bit of a break from doing the main show. We might have one of those coming up here soon, but it happened to coincide that we watched F9, did a Fastcast on it, and then today, Zach and I just got home from seeing Fast 10, or Fast X, as I've been calling
it. We're not sure what it's called. Yeah, we're not entirely sure what
the
real
title. We're recording this barely on May 20th still. It's almost midnight, but this movie came out yesterday, May 19th, in the year of our Lord Vin Diesel, 2023. Zach, it's still fresh in our minds, but we're very excited to dive into this movie.
We're excited. We're very excited. Before we talk, to be very clear, we didn't really discuss this because we've been day drinking. We're here. We're rolling with the punches.
We're here.
We're going to be spoiler free, right, for a little bit.
For the beginning.
For the beginning. So stick around. Hang out for spoiler free. But we should also say, what a journey. What a journey we've been on together, my friend.
Yeah.
Our first episode of the Fastcast was 2022. So
over a year ago.
Over a year ago, we started this journey, and now we are here. We've done all of the Fast movies. So if you want to go check it out, go back and listen to those old shows. John said it, radiovania.com. Check it out. But man, it feels cool. It does. It feels like we have closure, kind of. And it's exciting now because it's like, okay, well, the next time a Fast movie comes out, that's the next episode.
Well, that's the thing is like with...
February 7th, 2022, by the way.
Wow. With the DCEU in review, we kind of had an endpoint. And then they decided to
keep doing shit.
Keep doing stuff, and now we need to choose our endpoint. I still think The Flash should be the last one we do for the in-review, because that will end the Snyderverse, I believe. But that's another topic of conversation for another time. Quick little, like, fun stuff about the movie. Yeah, we're going to keep it really spoiler-free from the beginning, but as soon as we get to the hit the nas on the plot portion, and maybe even some of the fun facts, we'll let you guys know when to tune out. But this is going to be very, very fresh on the release heels of the movie, so definitely make sure you go see it before listening to this entire episode.
Yeah, the structure here is not going to be...
Fast and loose.
It's going to be fast and loose, exactly, yeah. We've done a lot of great episodes. I really do think that this one is a special one because it is just a brand new release. It's not like F9 or even going back to the early Fast movies where it's like we've had years to kind of watch these movies and think about them and like come up with opinions. This is more unique because all roads led to this, right? Vin said it himself. So now we're here. The road led to here.
Yep.
And now we actually get to kind of talk about the movie. So yes, it is going to be a little bit more fast and loose, but I think you guys are... I think we're in for a good show.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So Fast 10, Fast and Furious 10, Fast X, all the names, directed by Louis Leterrier.
What's that guy done?
That's a good question. Let me pull him up here.
We're doing the information on the fly as
Transporter
well.
Films.
That's right. He's the Transporter guy.
2008's The Incredible Hulk, starring Edward Norton, and Clash of the Titans, as well as The Dark Crystal on Netflix. So he's got some chops.
And he will be returning to direct
Fast 11.
Right now on IMDb, it's listed as Fast X Part 2.
Just call it Fast 11. If it's Fast X Part 2,
and it's like a Final Fantasy
it's
game.
FX colon II, that'd be amazing. Honestly, I'd get that tattooed on my ass.
Yeah.
Written by Dan Mazou and Justin Lin. Uh-huh. Justin Lin was originally supposed to direct this. He directed Fast 9. He was going to direct this last little trilogy of 9, 10, and 10 part 2. But instead, he stepped away due to creative differences a little bit over a year ago. We're not entirely sure as to what. I'm assuming it has to do with the star of the film. Maybe some other studio involvement related stuff.
But. Could have been story stuff too. But yeah, like you said, like a lot of that shit was kept kind of under wrap and key. Like I think Justin Lin still has a really soft spot for the franchise itself. Definitely. So like he wasn't, I don't think, a lot of times in Hollywood, there's two things in the last few decades. Scheduling conflicts has been the main thing where it's like anytime that there's an actor that doesn't want to be part of a project, it's, oh, I had scheduling conflicts.
Yeah.
You can be legit. You didn't want to be in the movie.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is like, oh, creative differences. And sometimes I feel like that's bullshit. But then other times I'm like, okay, I actually legitimately think that maybe Justin Lin just didn't see eye to eye with what they wanted to do. And maybe he wanted to do something different and was like, okay, well, maybe I'm not suited to do this movie, because I think that a big part of this movie, like we'll talk about in the review, is setting it up for a finale.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I wonder if that's like not what Justin Lin wanted to do.
No spoilers. This is not a very good self-contained movie. This feels a lot like Dune, where like you get to the end of Dune and you're like, oh, yeah, there's another half of this still. So calling it Fast X Part 2 actually does make sense, because this movie, it does not have a very like satisfying single film conclusion, IMO.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily a spoiler, but I did not expect that.
When it ended, we were all kind of like, what? No.
Yeah, it's honestly kind of shocking. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll just leave it at that for now and just say like the movie ends in a way where it sets up a sequel. Yeah.
2 hours and 20 minutes, including the credits. Mm-hmm. So actual film time, just a little bit over 2 hours.
A little bit over 2 hours.
Moved pretty fast, I felt like.
I thought so, too.
No pun intended. We kind of got to the end of it and we're like, oh, shit.
I breezed by.
Yeah. Budget of $340 million.
Yeah, it's an expensive flick.
I don't know if that is including what has already been put into place for the second part or not.
You have to imagine that some
of it. Lord of the Rings' budget is for all three of those movies. You know what I mean? Because they're all filmed kind of succinctly. So
yeah, you have to imagine
this is being filmed together as well.
I would guess that like some of the end stuff, like maybe what immediately starts the next movie, has already been filmed. But other than that, I don't know how much.
See, I think it's probably a lot to do with certain characters and actors and those scenes that you can shoot all. Maybe upfront or not, kind of stuff. So
yeah, maybe.
So far, Zach, what is it? Was it brought in just one night around 60 mil or something? Like
yeah, that, we'll talk just real quick. Yeah, so the box office here. So this comes from Deadline. After Friday late updates, the Louis Leterrier directed 10th Quill is hovering around 28 million, which is 8% behind that of F9 for a slightly higher. 66 million to 67 million. So, where is the actual total? Where is the actual total, John? That is what I want to know.
Box Office Mojo.
Yeah, I was just gonna read that article.
You're good.
But I'm gonna find it.
While Zach's looking that up, I should say we saw this with my roommate Tahir. Shout out to Tahir. We went to the cinema.
60 mil so far.
Yep.
60 mil.
We went to the Cinemark. We had a pretty packed theater. We saw it on XD. Great call by you. Looked great.
Want that
felt
big,
great.
Big time sound, big time games.
Could smell the rubber off the road. Yeah, from the beginning. Yeah, all the way to the end.
Could smell Jordana Brewster.
She smells like almonds and cinnamon. I don't know. Don't know where I'm going with that. It's been a very long day.
It's been a long day. Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, what's the Rotten Tomato meter?
And we'll talk about this maybe. Right now, it's sitting at a 54% recommendation with 221 reviews by critics. Audience score of 87%. So, 54% of critics recommend it. 87% of audiences recommend
it. Pretty on par with the rest of the franchise, for sure.
I'm pulling it up right now to see where that ranks.
Yeah. In terms of what, audience scores?
Just the fast franchise based on Rotten Tomatoes
score. Oh, critic score, that's going to be in the middle of the pack. Because 5, 6, and 7, we're all pretty fresh. I think even Fate of the Furious is more fresh than that. So it's going to probably be right around in the middle, if I remember correctly. But let's not have too much dead air.
Oh, no, no.
As we shoot from the hip.
The first Fast
looks things up.
2001 Fast and the Furious, 55%. Too Fast, 36%. That's about right. Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, 38%. That's way too low. Fast Ampersand, 29%. Also way too low. Fast 5, 78%.
Too low.
Too low, but more along the lines of where I would expect it to be. Fast 6, 71%. Way too low. 81% for Furious 7. You could justify that. Fate of the Furious, 67. Hobbs and Shaw, 68. F9, 59. Fast X, 54. So this is tracking in less favorably than F9, but more favorably than Fast Ampersand, Tokyo Drift, Too Fast, Too Furious, and The Fast and the Furious.
Yep.
Interesting world we live in,
John. I don't think the critic scores are really anything that we go off of for these movies, as we've discussed many, many times. But
it's interesting to talk about.
Yeah, we don't really have any other fun facts necessarily. So just spoiler-free, Zach, what did you think of Fast 10 Part 1?
I loved it. I think it's no surprise that I'm super into this franchise. And so this movie being what it was, which was... So I told you this. I've been trying to stay away from things about this movie. I saw the first trailer, but I haven't watched any of the TV spots. I've been trying to avoid any of like leaks or rumors or discussions. Really, the only things I keep tabs on are Big Vinny's Instagram.
Yeah, which has been a riot.
Hilarious recently, yeah.
Between this and Guardians.
But there's one thing that I did see this past week on Twitter, which was when the early screeners started to go out or people went to the premiere, people were tweeting about the movie. And someone I saw on Twitter, I think it just showed up in my like For You page on Twitter, but someone said, Fast and Furious fans, or like just got out of a screening of Fast X. For Fast and Furious fans, this is our Infinity War. And I saw that and I was like, oh, that's funny. Like, good comment. So it's like, okay, so it's like a big...
apt.
But after leaving the movie, this is kind of like the Infinity War of the Fast franchise.
Oh, 100%.
And we'll talk about what that...
Deathly Hallows Part 1 or something.
We'll dive into what that means more specifically during spoilers when we talk about the plot and we try to cobble together some sort of semblance of coherence here.
It's going
to
be interesting.
It's going to be an interesting ride. But yeah, no, I think that this movie is awesome. I think that eventually it will end up being a really, really great piece of setup in a two-parter, because it does leave it in a way where you're like, okay, I'm ready for the sequel. Lots of great action. I thought that characters were utilized in a lot of really great ways. I think it was an interesting call having the teams be split up, which isn't a huge spoiler, but I'll say like, people aren't together for a lot of this movie, which I think is an interesting call.
They're in groups. Very Infinity War-esque.
And that's always been a Fast and Furious thing, but it feels a little bit more purposeful here, where it's like, we want these people doing this and these people doing this, because eventually we want them to go off and do these bigger things.
Which is not something you typically like when they split up the groups.
No. It's always a bummer, because it's like, you want to see the people that you like doing things together. Yeah, but I thought
you're notorious for saying that you hate the Two Towers and how everybody split up that whole time.
It's not a reason. I like the Two Towers. I feel like that example is what I use for Last Jedi.
Yes.
That's
what I was getting at in a very shit-eating way.
You
had an Empire and Two Towers.
But those movies are well utilized for the fact that they do that. The Last Jedi splits up our characters, and I'm questioning why. Mm-hmm. The whole time that the characters are split up in this movie, I'm always thinking like, oh, okay, they're doing this to set up this, and they're going here to be here. And I really liked it, because I thought this movie had great stakes, and the action was fun. The comedy was good when it hit. I was laughing at stuff that I shouldn't have been laughing at, but which is always a great point of the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yes. We were having a good time.
But I'm also laughing at stuff that they meant me to laugh at, which is a good sign as well.
Yeah.
And what I'll say before I toss it to you for non-spoiler stuff is that I thought that Jason Momoa was fantastic. I thought that he was maybe the most entertaining bad guy in the whole franchise.
He's second best for me, but yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. I'm curious now to talk about that, but
yeah, it's hard to define the bad guys too, because I really like Shaw a lot. But sure. He's not even a bad guy anymore.
Owen or Deckard?
Deckard. Yeah. Yeah. Dominic Toretto. Yeah. No, Momoa's fantastic.
Yeah.
Brie Larson, not so much. Not really utilized.
I did not think that she was that bad. Yeah. I thought that she was utilized appropriately. It's just like, that's probably the utilization that you should use Brie Larson.
She does this weird thing with, like, her eyes a lot in this movie that I just thought was very distracting. I don't know. It's weird. I can't really describe it. You know, I'm on record, though, with saying that I don't really like her that much. But another newcomer that I didn't know was in this movie is Alan Rickston. Let me look him up.
Yeah, CIA bro.
CIA bro.
Dude looks
Alan
like...
Alan Rickson.
Okay. Yeah.
This guy. Yeah. He was okay.
Generic white beef.
He's dude. What I've said. The problem with all these movies is they have to have a B-villain. There's always a B-villain that is in succinct, like, helping out the A-villain. But yeah, no, Jason Momoa is awesome. And he...
Can't wait to talk about spoilers.
He seems like he was destined to be in this franchise.
Yes.
And I think when he got the call from Vinny, he was looking at the Aquaman 2 script, is how I imagine it going. And he goes, Jason, I need you. And he goes, throws the script away and goes, all right. Hops on his Harley and just drives over to the Universal lot immediately.
Yeah, this is my favorite Jason Momoa role.
Yeah, I do think James Wan might have helped him get into the franchise from directing Seven before sure. Aquaman, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that he's utilized perfectly, and I think that he's goofy and funny, and it's like...
Sinister, too.
And sinister, but like...
He's like the Joker.
He's like the Joker, yeah. And I think
but like that, the comic book, like, campy Joker.
Yeah, yeah, it's really weird. It's really, like, off-putting in certain scenes, but it's like...
Yeah.
He's still entertaining and fun. It is like...
He's very eccentric and...
Again, the Infinity War...
Charming.
Yeah, the Infinity War comparisons are going to run rich here, but I'm going to compare him to Thanos, where it's like... He's not Josh Brolin.
It's because he has a purple car.
He does have a purple... He's not Josh Brolin in terms of like, oh, I'm a really like intimidating, sinister... I'm going to rule the world and it's going to be a thing or whatever.
It's
like, this guy, Jason Momoa is playing a villain where it's like, okay, so they bring him back from 5. That's in the trailer. That's not a spoiler. It's a character that has ties to the family. It makes total sense what he's doing, I think, in terms of like logistics. The one thing that doesn't make
sense.
It's a revenge thing.
That's it.
But he's a guy taking exacting revenge that's really good at it.
Yes.
And it's...
He's a criminal mastermind.
It's good. I'm in. I'm totally in. I've thought that...
It's literally... Yeah, it's the Joker to Vin Diesel's Batman of this franchise, you know?
And it's amazing that it took this long to get that. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, they haven't had the best string of villains over the course of the franchise.
Usually the villains are totally forgettable or they end up becoming part of the family.
Correct.
So I'm wondering, does Jason Momoa become part of the family, or is this the bad guy that stays the bad guy? He's like Reyes.
I really don't want him to become part of the family. I do think he is actually like legitimately evil. However, we felt that way about a lot of people before too. Deckard Shaw has a body count. Hobbs has a body count. John Cena killed a lot of people, and then they all like join the family. They even make a joke about it in this movie. Which is like
one barbecue away from joining, yeah. Like yeah. Turning into corruption. Yeah,
I don't like barbecues. Yeah. That being said, I think we have to save some more thoughts until we actually talk about the movie. I loved the film. I thought it was great. This is the first Fast and Furious movie I've seen in the theaters.
So glad I was able.
Very
to
Very special theater, time but... for me. So I'm excited to see the next one. Obviously, please, writer strike, Hollywood, help them out. You know, give them. What they are owed so that we can get back on track, because I want to see the next installment of this as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing is like
I think it was originally probably targeted for next year.
You would have to imagine, right?
Yeah, 1 year apart, kind of like all these other part one, part two things, but...
We'll see.
Yeah, so all that being said, I had a great time.
I had a great time.
Pretty buzzed. It was great.
I wholeheartedly recommend this. I think this is a fun movie to see in the theater. It's summer movie season. I mean, if you want action, you want comedy, it's like it's got it. I mean, we saw it with Tahir, and even Tahir, who wasn't like as bought into the franchise as the two of us, was still like, it was fun. Like, I don't think he was as high on it, but he definitely came out saying like, oh, it was fun. I had a good time. So, you know, I dug it. I really dug it. It's very violent.
It's not necessarily – this is the second movie that I've seen in theaters that kind of pushes the PG-13 boundary a little bit. Like, if you – I don't know if Fast and Furious is necessarily as for kids as, like, a Marvel series movie is. But if you typically bring younger audiences, you should consider – potentially not doing that, because there's some pretty horrific stuff, I think, that could really fuck up a developing mind.
I mean, you know, I've always said, like, you know, I don't really want to have kids, but like one of the things I think you do with kids is like explain to them things and be like, you know, if you feel mature enough to see a movie like this, here's the things about it or whatever. Like, you know, I think you could take a preteen to this movie and be fine, but like maybe 10 and under, I probably wouldn't fuck with this shit.
Sure.
But yeah, great movie. Really enjoyed it. Really, really fun. Laughed a lot. Had a great time. Yeah, so definitely. That's
cheered, laughed.
Yes.
Mistied. All kinds of things. Of all the emotional spectrum, you got it all, man.
Yeah. I think
a fun summer movie for me.
Yeah, for sure. It's cool. Like, it's just cool to me. I really hope that this franchise sticks the landing.
Oh, there's after what I just saw, there's no way it doesn't.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident, but it's like, you know, it would be a real shame if it was like all this build up and then the last movie in the franchise is a wet fart. Like, I really hope that 10 Part 2 is like the end game to this Infinity War.
I think it will be.
I hope so. It will be. Yeah. I just really hope we don't have to wait super long for it. But yeah, writer's strike, dealing with all this stuff, any drama behind the scenes, which we'll talk about in spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I totally recommend the movie. I think it was great. If you don't want to, if you haven't seen the movie yet, stop it here. Come back.
Yep.
Listen to the rest of the film. Or if you don't care about spoilers, I guess, keep on listening.
Yeah. We're going to explain what happens in this movie to you.
We're going
to
talk about spoilers for a little bit, and then we're going to try and put together the plot. It's going to be Zach and John's super brain. It's going to be when the Eternals sync up. What is it? The Unimind?
Oh, my God.
We're going
to... I've only seen Eternals once. I have no desire to think about it or watch it ever again.
Well, we're going to create the Unimind.
The Unimind, sure.
And figure out the plot of this movie. Yeah. But... yeah, so that's your last call. But if you want to stick around, we're going to do the plot. We're going to talk about spoilers. And then at the very end, we will rank and review this bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see where it lands.
Yeah, you're probably going to like it more than Fast Five because you're a fucking little bitch.
Don't spoil the show.
He's smiling. The
show.
He's going to do it. That's his thing.
I'm going to get a seltzer water.
He hates me so much.
No, I don't.
Can you grab me another one as a backup?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, buddy.
Mango or lime?
I got a lime right now, so...
Mango.
Mango it is.
Mango!
Like a bunta.
Dude, if they get Tamara Morrison in this version of the next movie, that'd be great.
All right, this is your last call because spoilers for Fast 10 are starting in 3, 2, 1. Giselle's back.
She's back!
She's back!
So is Hobbs!
She's back! I can't believe it. She's back. Hobbs is back. Oh, here's Tahir.
Come here, man. Come here.
Hey, Tahir's coming out of the bedroom. Tahir.
Real quick, before we talk about the plot, what'd you think of the movie?
Yeah, give your review. Just talk into the mic.
It was pretty good. I'd say it was... I haven't seen all of them. Most of them, for that matter. But this one was pretty action-packed from start to finish.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you recommend seeing it in the theater?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Even if you're not, like, a super huge fan, like, someone like you that was, like, you've seen a couple of them...
Yeah, I still had a good time.
Okay, sure. Cool.
For sure.
Present company probably helped.
Yeah, definitely.
Being sitting next to smashing, two dudes that were crying and cheering,
smashing a Pizza Hut cheese pizza. Were there previews?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what were our previews? I don't remember.
They were like all beer. Yeah, Oppenheimer.
God damn it. Can you spot the wolf in this picture?
Can you spot the bomb in this photo?
Was it just Oppenheimer?
No, there was like a comedy trailer. It was a whole bunch of nothing. None of the trailers really like got my
juice. We didn't have Dune though, did we?
Strip club movie we did not have with the black men, strip club.
There
black
was
men.
A strip club one, yeah, that's right.
Oh yeah. Anyway.
Beyond that, don't really remember.
Giselle's back.
Yeah, so Giselle's alive. Spoilers. Giselle's alive, like we long predicted. I think that there's like 10 minutes of the Fast 6 pod that we did where we talk about how Giselle, no body.
She falls off a plane in 6, or jumps off of a car out the back of a plane, right? Shoots somebody in air, and then we don't see her body, but she just, like, fades into the darkness.
And we assume that she's dead.
And everyone treats it like she's dead. They have a funeral for her. All kinds of stuff.
Han fucks off to Tokyo and eventually dies.
But he didn't actually die
either. But he didn't die either, but he comes back.
So if Mr. Nobody helps Giselle live, too...
I think that's absolutely where they're going.
The question is that I need to know right now. Gut reaction. Do you think Han knows she's alive and he's playing it close?
I don't think that he knows. I think that they're building.
Because they would definitely be together. If
yes.
You know. Okay.
I think the reason is like, which is another thing that we'll talk about. They completely forgot about the reason that Han came back to life in 9, which is to take care of that girl who was the key, the biometric key.
Ward.
She's just gone.
She doesn't matter.
Not even in this movie at all.
She got rosed so hard.
She got rosed. It's like. It's like, when? Or whatever he says to her. And he's like, she's like, to say when.
If we get, if you find it, when we find it.
When we find it.
Yeah.
When. Yeah. So, no, I don't think Han knows. And I think that they're doing that to set it up for the sequel, which is going to be, like we said in the spoilers, spoiler free. You're here, spoilers. You're here now. This is Infinity War. This is all the characters get separated and they go their own different ways.
But they're introduced into a greater picture.
There is
for a story.
This is the final thing. Their money is being taken away from them. Their image is being destroyed. The family is being hunted. There's a villain that is connected with all of them. And the certain villains are working with the good guys to go do certain things. And some of the good guys are like trapped and they're trying to figure out this stuff. Old people that are dead are now coming back and they're trying to figure out what their place. It's like this is literally, and you joked about it before. You were like, do you think Vin saw Infinity War after he played Groot or whatever and started taking notes?
I think he did. Like, he Xeroxed it.
I think he did. I think that he literally was like, what if we did, like, what if we end the franchise, right? But what if we do a movie that's like this climactic battle. You think everything's going to be going, and it's like everything's going wrong. This character is getting killed. They're being hunted. There seems to be no hope. The bad guy is crazy. And then we end it on a major cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And I think that it's an incredibly bold choice for the Fast and Furious franchise. Like, I just didn't expect them to. I thought this movie was going to have a lot more. I thought it was going to have more closure than it did.
Yeah.
So I'm shocked that it ended on such a fucking downer.
I'm excited. Obviously that Giselle's back, but I'm more excited for the post-credit stinger, which we're just going to jump to the end.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Which is Hobbs being back as well in some capacity. We don't know what. But you have to imagine the way they set it up, I think, is very smart. Where at the beginning of the movie is essentially the end of Fast 5, but from the perspective of Momoa's character, which we'll talk about here in a minute. And I love the end where he's just like, Dom hit my dad's car with the vault, but you're the one that killed him, so I'm coming for you too. And this whole time...
It's great.
In the next movie, we're going to see Momoa's assault on Hobbs, because we've only been seeing him attack Dom's family. But you have to imagine he's going to be going after Mama Hobbs, fucking Shaw's sister, potentially. Everybody from Hobbs and Shaw is on the table. So.
Yeah, and I think that... Honestly, like, what I'm imagining or what I'm hoping is that...
An Hawkeye-type cold open with Hobbs?
Yes. I think literally the exact... You stole the words out of my fucking mouth. I was going to say the opening 5 minutes.
Our minds are one.
We are the
universe. Who puts mayo on a hot dog?
the opening of Fast 10 2 is going to be...
Fast 10 2?
Well, that's what it's like. It's like a Final Fantasy game, man.
FXII. Let's just call it that. Fixie.
I hope that the opening is like, is yeah, it opens up with what has been happening with Luke Hobbs since the events of Hobbs and Shaw.
Yep.
With this crazy motherfucker that's hunting him down for killing his dad.
Yes. Good stuff. Really it's, good. Really well it's justified.
Great shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, fantastic. The Hobbs pop. It's interesting that they saved it for the post-credit stinger because you would assume that it's funny that they used Giselle before the credits start. Mm-hmm. But then they save Hobbs for the post credit.
They use Giselle just because she's part of that one sequence, which doesn't really fit as a post credit stinger. Plus, sure. I think Hobbs coming back is more hype for the general audience.
Sure, but I think you might even be able to end the movie on that. Then credits.
Yeah, maybe.
Then it would be like in the post credits. It's like, oh, we're back in Antarctica and we're hanging out with fucking.
It was really funny.
Michelle Rodriguez and Cypher.
The post credit scene kicks in. It's a bunch of, like, SWAT people storming a house. And we're sitting there, and I'm like, show me Hobbs! And then it literally a couple minutes later, it is. And we were grabbing each other. We were like, ah! It's like our fucking soap.
It's like watching wrestling.
Yeah, it's like the Young and the Restless. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, we're bought in.
Nah, I'm so in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so... Man, spoilers.
You kind of want to go, like, just go beat by beat in terms of, like, things that we liked. Because it's going to be hard to do a plot synopsis.
It's going to be hard, but...
We're also going to get too excited and just start talking about whatever we want. But I do want to talk to you about the opening.
Okay.
Which I think is really cool.
The Rio shit. We made the smart choice to watch it.
We watched Fast 5 today. You're welcome. And the beginning was literally stuff that we saw not 4 hours prior, which I thought was really funny. The only thing is that they shot some additional sequences. They brought the actor back who plays Reyes. Deamita or something like that. He looks the exact same.
Well, I think they were using some digital de-aging.
Probably.
Because his face looked a little jelly.
Looked a little mushy.
Looked a little mushy. A little soft face. Yeah.
A little soft face. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so Momoa's his son. You called that. I was wrong. Yeah. I just thought he was going to be an enforcer. Makes sense.
He's fighting for his family. Everyone fights for their family in these franchises.
Yeah, so we get to see the entire sequence where they're chasing them on the bridge with the vault from Fast 5, except for Momoa is driving the car that has the minigun from Fast 5, and that's what gets hit by the vault when Vin does the cool little whiplash move at the end, knocks Momoa into the water. We're off to the races. So... What'd you think?
Of the opening?
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. I mean,
you got to see Brian without them actually having to do anything.
And it looked like there was some, like, so there's one shot that they do of them, like, cutting the safe or whatever, where it's, like, they're showing Brian. I'm like, that's new footage.
New stuff.
And I'm like, I wonder if that was, like, cut footage from the cutting room floor or if it was, like, they just shot it. Because you don't see Paul Walker's face, really. It's like he's kind of obscured.
Yeah.
Because it's like him from behind like this. And I'm like, I wonder if they like got a body double to just reshoot that specific scene.
Maybe.
But I'm hoping it was just archive footage. Yeah. But regardless, I mean, it is cool to see. It's a cool opening. I mean, because it's like all that stuff goes down and then it's like...
Present day.
But then it's like the X.
Fast
right?
X.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's still with the headlight. Yeah, the X is the shape of the headlight, which, man.
It's so fucking rad.
It's good shit. Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that quite a bit. Then we get into like a barbecue, like from the jump.
So we're going through the plot.
Well, I just want to talk about like the beats that I really like that just happens to be the next one.
Okay.
Because we can't do the whole plot. It's just not possible. Unless you think we can.
I think we might be able to.
Okay, well, that is, like, the next scene.
That right? is the
Besides
next scene.
Besides him and Lil B doing donuts or whatever. And then the barbecue.
Is the donuts the first thing? So that harkens back to the first Fast and Furious, right? With them doing donuts or whatever. Mm-hmm. Cool callback.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Then, he's teaching Brian to drive, who Brian's, like, 8. But okay.
Well, this will be a recurring theme is that little Brian is...
Little B is in some interesting situations in this movie that a youngster should not be in.
And also...
It felt like Star Wars where they just have kids participate in massacres.
And also... We gotta address the Hopper baby...
Why is he black?
Elephant. Why is he black? he was it's a Hispanic Italian white baby. Elena is white.
The baby is white.
And the baby is absolutely white, and now he's black.
He's mixed in nine, and now he's black. I just don't think they care, honestly. I think they're just going for whatever actor fits the mold the best, because clearly continuity doesn't mean that much to them until they're trying to recreate stuff from another movie, and then they're like, let's put Jason Momoa in scenes from Fast Five, sure. But we can't get this kid consistently.
We see that shot of Reyes going, like so many like times. Five, gets, six times.
Gets hit with the car. Yeah. It's so sick. That's what killed my team, you some bitch.
But, oh, some bitch. We get the Rock saying some bitch, too.
So good. It's he so crushes the phone.
Fucking good, dude. Yeah. Holy shit.
Got a gray damn. Beard. He looks badass.
Daddy's got to go to work. Yeah, the gray beard is cool. God. Ugh. I really, really hope that he's in a lot of the
Ten, too. I'm so excited for Ten Part 2 for him and Shaw to go save Queenie together. Because you know that's going to happen. They're going to go dig some graves.
Yeah. But yeah, the kid is distracting to me. It's one of the things. I don't hate the kid. I actually think that the child actor did a pretty good job.
Yeah. He's got some good chemistry with John Cena.
Yes, and we'll talk about
John
that.
John Cena has a heart of gold and is a legitimately awesome actor.
Man.
Could act with literally anyone.
I love John Cena in this movie. I thought he was so much better. It was like they spoke. It was like they heard
they
me.
They watched Peacemaker, and then they were like, let's do a 180.
It was like they heard me. We talked on our F9 podcast. I was like, I like John Cena a lot as an actor, but the problem is that they just made him so fucking deadpan serious in that movie.
He's not a heel. He never has been. He can't be a villain.
No, he's funny.
He's like...
John Cena is funny. You want him to be funny and likable. It's like you don't want him to be this dour, depressing, serious bad guy. Like, I think it was an interesting take, I guess, to make Vin's brother, or to make Dom's brother the bad guy. But it's like, John Cena in this movie is fun. He's funny. And it's likable, and it makes me sad.
They're in their own movie for most of it, which
is hilarious.
Which I would like to buy a ticket to that.
Yes,
movie.
I would happily get for admission to that. But yeah, so where are we?
So we're at the barbecue.
Barbecue. So they're barbecuing shit.
Yep. It's their abuelita's there.
So. Yes. Who is that? That's
their
someone.
Grandmother.
But that's like an actress.
Oh yeah. I'll look her up.
I think that
tell
she's.
Tell me about the scene, though.
Yeah. So they're doing the whole barbecue thing. It's standard fare. It's Fast and Furious fare.
Lots of
everybody's
good shots
there.
Of corn.
Yeah, lots of corn. They're doing stuff like
they're
that.
They're making Han a dating profile, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, that was funny. I forgot about that bit where it's like
Giselle's
it's like
be pissed when he's got all these matches and he's just plowing ass all.
Oh,
over.
He's gonna delete that app so hard.
He throws his phone away.
Yeah, I don't need technology anymore.
Yeah.
But they're all just kind of talking. In the
Rita
crowd.
Marina.
Rita Marina. She's in something.
Yes, she is in some things. She's in West Side Story.
Oh, she's
1961.
She's
and
a musical
West Side
actor.
Story 2021.
Yes, she's a musical actor.
And
I
Oz.
Recognize her from that.
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
And she's in 80 for Brady.
Oh God.
Anyway.
I'm already... it's a good thing we're tag teaming this because I'm already blanking.
I don't know. They're just talking about family.
They're talking about pretty family and stuff like that. It's like, you fight for your family.
All we know from... All we learn from this scene is that the agency has asked them to help on a mission, but since Dom's softcore retired, Roman is leading the mission.
That's right.
With Han and Tej and Ramsey. Han is going.
And they're heading to London
at Dom's bequest. No, they're
going.
They're
heading
they're
to,
going
Rome.
To Rome.
They're heading to Rome.
Roman is going to Rome. Very confusing. But then once something happens, I don't remember what. Oh, Cypher shows up at the house.
Yes, that's right. So we have, like a low key opening after the Momoa stuff,
where like they put a little bit of bed, and then they're trying to do sexy time. Where Vin,
dude,
when she fucking
she jumps and straddles him, and I was like, ooh.
The three of us were like the Joe Rogan meme, we'd be like, oh.
Michelle Rodriguez is looking fabulous, man. Just can we just
Michelle
take a moment?
Come on the pod. We fucking love Letty.
We will worship you on this podcast.
We just talked to her about Lost, D&D, Fast movies. She's the best part of the first Avatar movie, in my opinion. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's You're not right. the only one with the gun, bitch. Best line of the movie.
She yeah. is in the first Avatar, yeah.
Yeah.
Not, no, yeah.
She's not in the Way of Water. Sorry to spoil that for you.
No, that's a bummer.
She yeah. might be in the third one, maybe.
We love you, Michelle. Come on the pod.
Love you. We love you. Anyway, so yeah, Cypher shows up.
But yeah, Cypher shows up. She's been stabbed.
She got attacked by Momoa. Then we get like a, she's like, she's bleeding all over the Toretto couch. And then she's like, here's what happened. I got attacked by the devil tonight. And then it's, we see the scene of Momoa's proper introduction in the present day, which is a great scene.
He just, busts into the lab.
He comes in and he's carrying two bodies, throws them on the ground. And then he's just like very casually just like, by the way, I have all your families. Go ahead, pick up your phone. And they all FaceTime their families and they're all kidnapped. Like
duct taped and shit.
And yeah. he convinces them to turn on her and work for him. Which is, I love when bad guys steal someone else's army because they don't have to do as much work. I think it's a great idea. So just throwing that out there.
He's fun. He's fun in this scene, but he's not unhinged yet.
Not yet.
It happens later.
When the that race is
later.
When the race happens, and yes. it goes fucking bananas.
It's like this scene was filmed first.
Yeah.
And then he was like, hey.
Because they filmed Charlize's stuff on a tighter schedule, probably.
Probably. It's yeah. a good point. Yeah, it's actually a really good point to think about. But yeah. yeah. So yeah, we'll talk about Momoa when we get to the race scene, because holy lord, does he just become...
Yeah. I like this scene, though. I mean, you said this earlier. This is the best Cypher appearance.
I think that Charlize not is even the best in this movie that she is in the entire franchise.
Not even close. It's not even close. The best is the best, though, is... So yeah, that scene happens, and then that's why she's so bloody. She does escape her own men. But the best is when she stumbles up to the door... And he, like, pins her up against the door, and he's like, I should fucking kill you.
He's like, last time we were here, there was, like, 4 inches of bulletproof glass, but
yeah,
now.
And then we get the flashback to Fate with her fucking stupid-ass face where she's, like, staring off into nothing. Yeah, when they killed Elena. But, you know, everything...
I think they finally figured out that character. I think that, like...
Did they?
Yes, because they've never been able to figure out that character. In 8, she's that spacey, weird, like... She's like a Zuckerberg-type spacey, weird character.
Okay.
Then in 9, she's, like, in that box the whole fucking movie, and it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this, she's, like, kind of scrappy and funny and sarcastic. And I'm like, this is way better. Like,
I just don't understand what her... I guess we'll find out in the next movie. Like, how does she have the sub still? What's going on here? Why is she working with Giselle? You know?
Oh.
How did she hack into the ventilation systems with just the console by the hand? Why is there a console by where the hands are sure. kept? You know?
Well, I just liked... it was like an hour into this movie and someone says God's Eye. And I just... I groaned.
I was
still dealing with the God's Eye.
I love this movie and I love these series of films. I'm so fucking over the God's Eye. I just needed to stop. When Momoa is talking to Brie Larson on the bridge, he's like, where's the God's Eye? And she's like, go to hell. And he's like, ah, there it is. And I was like, God damn it. I'm done.
No, they love it, man. They love having this, like, in a world where there's not super... They treat everybody like they have superpowers, but this is the most super... super evil thing that you can do in this universe, which is take control of everyone's information. Because that's the whole point.
But all they use it for now is to find people.
They use it to track people now. Some... They're like... They spend the whole movie...
It's like Jack Sparrow's compass. They're just like, oh, where's Dom? There he is.
Yeah. The whole movie they spend, we gotta get to the rendezvous point. And then eventually they get to the rendezvous point and it's like, oh, we know where the rendezvous point is. It's like, that's the God's Eye.
The only thing that they use it for is to explain Deus Ex Machina.
Yes.
Where it's like when people just show up in a scene, you're like, oh. And then they show it. That's what I was getting so pissed about. Is whenever Brie Larson would hold it up and she's like, it's dumb.
Yeah.
Fucking God's Eye.
It's frustrating because I wish that there was a more clever, like, tool that they were utilizing. What I think is cool, and they kind of touch on it, is that they touch on the fact that Ramsey is responsible for creating this. She's
got some guilt going on.
She's got guilt, yeah. Which I think is cool. That's
character growth.
That's cool. Yeah. It's like, I created that's this like cool tech thing or whatever.
As character sure. growth, you know?
I created this tech thing that I thought was going to be a tool, but it ended up falling into the wrong hands. People are just completely twisting what I wanted them to do. And now I'm caught up in this fucking war between goddamn Dante Reyes and the Toretto family.
I'm just saying, man. Furious 7 was in 2015.
It's crazy.
We have been dealing with the God's Eye for 8 years. In our own time. It's wild shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So Cypher essentially tells them that they're about to... that he's coming for Dom. And so they call the agency... and we get a recurring, or we get a reappearance of our guy Scott Eastwood from Furious 7.
That's right.
Yeah, he's in it for a little bit. And they're just like, a second. They're like, what about the Rome job? He's like, we don't have a Rome job. And that's when they put two and two together that Momoa leaked information to draw everybody to Rome. So then Letty and Dom are like, see you later, little B. We're gonna leave you with Aunt Mia, and we're gonna go globetrot for a little bit.
They just love leaving that fucking kid at home. It's like Baby Yoda in season one of The Mando.
Stay in the ship.
They're always just stay in the ship.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then we get the Rome sequence, which I thought was a cool... I like this action sequence. I don't know how you felt about it with like the bomb and everything, like the rolling firebomb.
It's my second favorite action sequence in the movie, behind the rocket car.
Rocket car
was sick.
Rocket car was tight.
Yeah. I love that scene. I think that scene's awesome. But yeah, I thought this was great. Good little, like, the device itself, you know, and the homage. He literally states that it's supposed to be an homage to dragging the safe around, which is pretty cool. But
yeah, it's cool.
This is where he starts to get a little unhinged, where he's like drone piloting on top of a cathedral. And he's, like, talking to the two nerds and stuff like that. And then as he walks away, he's like, remember, I have your family, so make sure you still work for me. And then he, like, walks away. It's, like, little stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just love that they told him he could do whatever he wants.
Sure. No, he's totally unhinged. I liked a lot of this scene. I thought it was cool. The two moments that stand out for me is... fucking Letty going to the thing or whatever, the car crashes and she does the front wheel hop to the back wheel to jump over the thing. Fucking sweet, dude.
Every movie every new Fast and Furious movie, she does something else and I'm just like, I just want to marry her. She's wonderful.
Yeah. And then the other thing I liked is that Dom played fucking putt-putt with a fucking... with the flaming bomb.
Crazy. When he dove into the crane.
He jumps off the bridge to
I like that crane. He went so fast he outran an explosion. I want to see Dom Toretto in Oppenheimer, where he's just like outrunning the test bomb.
And yeah, that scene just made me laugh hysterically because it's like the bomb is it's a spherical bomb.
Yeah.
But it's not rolling downhill. It's just kind of making its way toward a bridge. Like, it has its own brain.
It's rolling towards the Vatican.
Sure.
From the Forum, which is not how Rome is laid out.
But it's not being piloted. Nope. It's just going based on sheer inertia.
No.
Which is not possible.
No.
Considering how heavy the bomb is.
Correct.
At one point it hits that bridge.
Yes.
Where they have the cars there, and then it just continues, it falls.
Yes.
And then picks up speed and keeps going. It's like,
yes.
What are the physics here?
Doesn't matter.
What are the physics?
Doesn't matter. We get so many shots of Momoa doing his hometown Jesus Rio, where he goes like, boom, boom.
Yeah. Was that in the movie? Because that's in the trailer, right?
Yeah,
Does he say boom?
So it's in this sequence. He's on the motorcycle, and he does the... He has those mines that he puts underneath the cars, and he does the frisbee thing where you skip it off the pavement, and then it flies back up, and it gets into Scott Eastwood's car. And as he's driving away, he goes, boom. Boom.
God, Jason. Well.
Yeah, so then after this is when...
this is where everybody gets split up. Letty gets apprehended by the police.
By the agency.
Yeah, that's right, because they put her in a fucking, like, future prison.
Yes, because this is right after this is also when Jack Reacher and Brie Larson's characters are introduced. But Yeah, so they Letty is taken by the agency into custody to a black site prison. The Ramsey, Han, Tej, and Roman are in the catacombs, and they just get out of the city somehow.
Yeah, they just kind of leave, right?
And then they get into a shipping container that goes to London.
That's right, the perfume shipping
container. And Dom stays in Rome and is standing on top of a building looking at all the damage that the bomb caused. And Helen Mirren just comes out of nowhere because Vin wanted to have another scene with her, which I think is
And you were like, adorable. What if she just grabs his ass? Because she's like, she comes up next to him.
She's like rubbing his back. There you go, you stallion.
There is a great scene where Fast franchise loves doing this, where it's like the newscasters, where it's like, there's been chaos in the streets of whatever, and these five people are wanted, and it's like the photos of the family, but it's all like.
Different languages and stuff. Yeah, it's
pretty great.
Yeah, so they've marked the entire crew as international terrorists again, blaming them for the bombing of Rome.
Yep. So terrorist activity. The family's under fire for this. That's the first step, right? They're trying. They say it a couple times. Like, he's trying to break us apart. He's trying to tear us apart. This is the first thing. Is that like they want to go back to like Fast Five?
They're ruining their reputation. Yeah.
But yeah, so this is where things start to get a little bit hazy, right? Like, so they start splitting people up. Brie Larson's
introduced next.
Brie Larson. And her introduction, you immediately groaned at.
It sucks. That scene's stupid. You were like, why are they in Cerebro?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It
doesn't make any sense.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Nobody's just mysteriously gone, I guess, because Kurt Russell was busy. She's Kurt Russell's daughter. They keep calling her Little Nobody.
Totally weird decision.
And Alan Rickman is Rickman.
Alan
Rickman. I'm gonna call him Alan.
Turn to page 100.
Alan's character. What's his name? Ames is the character's name. Ames is now the director of this secret agency.
Uh huh.
And he's got a zero family bullshit tolerance. That's his campaign stance. Is it doesn't matter how much good the Fast family's done for us. They're international terrorists now, for sure. And it seems like a quick, you know, labeling, and we come to find out why this is later on. But at that, yeah, I don't think this scene's very good.
No, it looks terrible. Yeah. I made a
comment. Like, it looks like a Capital One commercial.
It totally, dude, you're absolutely right. It looks like a fucking commercial. It looks like Brie Larson and this dude were on a green screen, and they're just like, look at this screen. Now look at this and this.
Can we talk about his tan?
Oh, he looks.
He looks awful. He looked like Donald Trump. Like if Donald Trump got like yoked, it's kind of what he looked like. No offense to Alan. I'm sure you're a nice guy. He's just a little orange in this movie.
He is a little orange, yeah.
Especially that scene at the end at the dam where he like looks over at the plane and then like looks back. I was like,
and you can see the line.
I was like, Jesus, this homie's fucking orange, Oompa Loompa style.
He's been chilling out in the fucking Planet Fitness black card tanning beds. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I don't know, but yeah, Cerebro scene. Tough way to introduce Brie Larson. Because I'm like, I like Brie Larson. I know that you have your opinion on her.
I like her in Scott Pilgrim.
I like her in Room.
I haven't seen Room. Sure. And then I like her in 21 Jump Street.
Oh, that's right.
About it. She's not very good as Carol Danvers.
I don't like her performance as Captain Marvel. But in this, I thought she was appropriately utilized. She's in it very little. And the moments that she is in it, she's kind of just being Brie Larson.
She should be a big star, though. She should be, like, taking this movie over.
Should she? I don't know if she's that good.
Then why
she was in one good movie.
Room. And won an Oscar.
And won an Oscar.
Insane. I think that went to her head. But that's besides the point.
Yeah, I don't know. But this scene just, like, it's bad. It's probably the worst scene in the movie.
Yeah, what happens after this?
They introduce Brie Larson. Don't we get a scene where, so everyone's splitting off, right? Letty's in prison.
We should just do each plot line now.
Yeah, Letty's in prison.
Yeah, with Cypher.
That's easy.
But Brie Larson goes to visit her in prison at Dom's behest.
Oh, that's right.
She stole the God's Eye on her way out of HQ. Found him in Rio, hiding out at a bar.
Apparently, it's really easy to steal the God's
Eye. He's just sitting there. Yeah, you just pull it out of the drive. Yeah, sure. He's just chilling at a bar in Rio. Like, what are you waiting for, dude? But that scene is also the one that I did not like, where she, like, fights those guys in the bar. And she's like, 2 beers, please. Thanks. And then she just, like, walks over. And I was like, whatever. But yeah, she tells him that Momoa's from Rio because he's Reyes' son. And he asks her to make sure Lil B's okay and to get Letty out of prison.
Yeah, so she goes to visit – she goes to find Dom because she has some – the only reason she goes to find Dom is because her dad is Mr. Nobody.
Who likes the family.
Who likes the family.
Yeah, she believes in them, in the Avengers.
And there's a lot of – yeah, there's a lot of talk about, like, why is the agency suddenly turning on us, and she's the one person that isn't.
Correct.
It's interesting.
We don't know – Mr. Nobody's mysteriously not in this movie. I'm wondering if he is in – if he's captured by Momoa and Ames and, like, being held somewhere. And he's going to be in the last one, too.
Yeah, maybe. See,
remember when Mr. Nobody in Furious 7 just puts his sunglasses on? Sick.
Yeah, dude, Kurt Russell's awesome.
Yeah, charming.
I mean, the interesting thing, though, is, like, what we were speculating is before this movie came out, I was like, I bet Brie Larson is an O'Connor.
Thank God.
But how much more sense would that have made?
Zero, because why would she work for the agency if she's an O'Connor?
But not saying that she would work for the agency, but
oh.
Brie Larson serves no purpose in this movie.
Correct.
She's Mr. Nobody's daughter.
Yep.
She literally serves the purpose of being Mr. Nobody.
Correct.
So, why cast?
Because that's what they Brie do. Larson. They just like getting big names and stuff and making roles for them where you're related to somebody.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, they do it later on with Daniela Melchior, but that character is actually like well fleshed out and has good scenes.
Surprisingly well fleshed out. And
she's a better actress.
She's such a better actress.
She got that one crying scene and you're like, I'm in. You're Elena's sister. Cool. Let's do it. I'm in. I love it. Let's do it. I'm in.
Didn't see that one coming.
Oh, come on. Really?
From the pre-release stuff?
No, from the moment she showed up.
Oh, well, when she's in the movie, I was like, I wasn't really thinking about it, but then as soon as they show
exactly
that...
exactly the same.
They show that photo of Elena in her cop uniform, I'm like, where was this picture taken? I was like, stock photo from Fast Five.
So funny.
Really funny. And another shout-out to a moment that got our theater laughing was... the flashback photos or whatever, it's Vin at his wedding and he's wearing a white tank top or whatever. It just gets a good laugh from me.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
So yeah. Cypher.
Okay, so yeah, how do you want to play this out?
I don't know.
Let's do Letty's plot line. Then we'll do the other gangs. Okay. Then we'll do Vin's. Because Vin's and Momoa's are pretty much the same.
Easy.
Okay. So Letty is in this Blacksite prison. Brie Larson comes in and tells her she's going to help her escape and then stabs her so she has to get taken to the medical ward. Wakes up in the medical ward, and that thing that's stitching up Kylo Ren's face in The Last Jedi is also stitching up her stab wound.
Yeah, they have some weird like future technology in this scene, which I thought was pretty fascinating.
I mean, in a world where the God's Eye exists, might as well.
Dude, the fucking God's Eye.
Your feet cold?
I'm just a little chilly in general. I kind of wish I had a hoodie.
Yeah.
But I'm doing okay. One? No, I'm doing okay.
Here, buddy. I got a hoodie for you.
You got a hoodie for me?
When Bay wears his hoodie.
Oh, my God. Watch out. Don't tell
Julia. Julia, she gets jealous. But yeah, so she wakes up, and this is the scene that's in the trailer. She wakes up, and she's on a medical table next to Cypher, who also was taken by the agency.
Maybe this is a good sign for Zach, but like I don't remember much of this trailer. Like I'm like,
this is at the end of the trailer.
Okay,
because I remember.
Because like I'm forgetting a lot of the stuff in the trailer. I'm like, maybe that's a good sign. Like I'm forgetting the trailers. I'm like, that's good.
I'm forgetting things. That's a good sign. Memory's failing. Drinking everything away.
When you put it like that, it sounds a little sadder. But yeah.
You're good.
No, it's like, I was legitimately surprised by most everything in this movie.
Yeah.
I do remember in the trailer they spoil the fact that he jumps off the dam at the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But what they ended up doing with it is not what I expected.
Nope.
So
yeah,
I guess there's that. They've always been good about that though, because I remember the trailer for 7, it shows him jumping out of it shows him and Brian jumping out of the window of the building in Abu Dhabi. And you're like, oh, cool, wow, they jump out the building. But then in the action movie, they do it again. Yeah. And I'm like, let's go! Dude, 7's so good.
It's amazing. We should watch that after this. While we eat some snacks. So, Letty and Cypher in this medical prison.
Yeah, I mean, it,
she gets out eventually.
I thought their fight scene was really cool.
That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah,
the fight scene's sick.
The fight scene's cool.
Michelle Rodriguez, fight choreographer extraordinaire in Hollywood. She's had a marquee fight in every installment since 6. She fought Gina Carano in 6 in the substation.
That's right.
Then Rhonda. Then who did she fight in 8? I can't remember. Who's somebody? She's like beating people up in that missile silo. She's like fighting people.
Yeah, she fights people in the missile silo.
Yeah. She's just awesome. She's good stuff.
She's always great. And I thought this fight scene was really, really great. And I'm glad that Cypher is the best that she's been in the whole franchise. I think it's a real frustrating thing to me that they had Charlize Theron and didn't utilize her, like, physical acting capabilities.
She's much taller than Michelle Rodriguez. There's a scene where they're both throwing up the dukes, and I was like, Jesus. But yeah, I love that, where she's like, how much time do we have? And she's like 4 minutes. And she's like, all right, cool. And then she's like, clocks her. Funniest moment in the movie for me is after she clocks Charlize and knocks her out, Michelle Rodriguez climbs up the ventilation shaft and opens it.
Yes, and this is great.
We were getting location cards for everywhere we went, and she just opens it. It's in the middle of a tundra, and it just says Antarctica. And she just goes, ah, shit. And then closes it back, goes back down, and Charlize is waiting down there with parkas. It's just fucking, it's hilarious.
So, and this is a good example of like, okay, so Fast and Furious has a lot of stuff that you laugh at where you're not supposed to, where it's like cheesy line delivery, funny, absolutely outrageous bullshit. But yeah, like this was a moment that I think is legitimately that's written comedy.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I thought that it was
and everything
executed perfectly.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah. So then the next time we see them, they're wearing the parkas, and they just walked out of the Blackside Agency prison, and then a submarine comes out of the water, and who's driving the submarine? But Gal fucking Gadot, which...
I thought you wanted to go to Tokyo.
So, we're watching the movie. She's got binoculars when she pops out. She's looking around. And I nudged you, because I recognized those lips anywhere, man. I knew it. As soon as I saw her, I was like, that's fucking Wonder Woman. And she lowers the binoculars, and we get the hero shot. And she just she gives us the Gal Gadot smile, and I was fucking putty. Well, I was just putty.
Rock hard.
She looks good.
She looks great. She looks great. She looks fabulous. Can't wait. Can't wait.
And Charlize says something like along the lines of like, still think my plan's a bad idea or something like that. And then that's the last of their storyline. It's pretty quick.
Yeah.
There's so much editing jumping around. Yeah.
And again, to touch on like Infinity War, right? Like to, I'll take another one too, please.
There's a crossbow around.
He stepped on a crossbow. Yeah, to talk about, like, the Infinity War comparisons again, it's just like, man, they separate all these characters, but it's also like, you go back and rewatch Infinity War, and it's like, oh, you spend a lot of time in the very beginning with, like, oh, you're hanging out with Iron Man, and he's doing this stuff, and then they fight with they do the whole wizard fight in the middle of the street. But then you leave Iron Man and go to the Guardians, and then you don't catch up with Iron Man for like an hour.
It's a lot of characters in this movie.
And the same thing kind of happens here, where it's like, oh, you have a little bit with Michelle Rodriguez, and they have that fight scene. And then you even made the comment, she does a flying haymaker kick, and then it cuts right after she hits Cypher. And you're like, oh no, why would you cut? But they cut away to another one of the 10 stories that they're juggling for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like, it really does feel like this grand sweeping epic. It's really fascinating.
Zach loves this movie.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed that they did this.
I'm impressed. Yeah, so you want to talk about the Rome group?
next.
This is one that I'm like, okay.
This was the least effective.
This is the weak. This is the weak link in the
one moment that is great. Otherwise, I'm not a huge fan of what they did with these characters, particularly because as soon as they leave Rome, they go to London in a shipping container, and they're like, "We need guns and cars, so let's go visit Pete Davidson's weird."
Well, the first thing that happens is that they're in an office, and this is when Jason Momoa is like, boom, on a computer, and he steals their money.
Yeah, that's right.
And so they're in the office, and they're like, yo, well, everything that we just got.
When he steals their money is when he's painting the toenails of those dead guys, which is an insane scene.
Yeah. Is that the same
scene? That's that scene. Because remember, he's talking to the dead body. He's like, what should we do? I guess I could work. Such a fucking... You know, he's like, click, 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 click. And he's like, all your money. Thanks, guys.
Dude.
People will be here to bury you in a minute, which is insane.
Absolutely insane. And this scene, terrifying. And, like, it elicited quite the negative reaction from multiple people in our theater.
People groaning.
Yeah, people like, oh,
uncomfortable.
No. Yeah, it's freaky. And Jason Momoa
being... I like Jason Momoa being a villain. I'm not gonna lie.
No, me too. I think this is his best role, in my opinion. Oh, actually, Duncan Idaho is pretty good, yeah.
He's just not used enough because that character is so small. Anyway.
Character so small, Jason Momoa so big.
Big guy.
Big like a bantha. Yeah. Yeah, but he's like...
His fight with Dom later is so funny. You butthole! And he throws the tooth
out. Yeah! It's really weird. So it's like, yeah, his character is...
A child. He is experiencing, what do they call that? Where your mental capacity is trapped in a pre-developed mind. I can't remember. There's an actual, like, psychological wording for it that they kind of hint at.
Down because syndrome.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Cut that.
Cut that.
They do explain, though, that he has been in and out of juvie and psych wards since he was a child.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like...
He's a Batman villain, essentially, yeah.
He's basically a Batman villain, but it's like, yeah, he's not fully developed socially. So it's like he's just doing weird shit all the time.
Yes.
There was one line... Oh, I'm going to have to see it again to get it, but there was
Enchanté.
Yeah. So, are you a fan of ballet? Do you like ballet? Do you like so Nutcracker cool. or whatever? It's
you
like
seem
it's like
more of a Nutcracker.
Yeah. All of his lines were
the funniest thing for me is when he's getting in the car to chase Jacob and he's just like fucking Frank Gorshin Riddler giggling to himself. It's so good. I can't wait to watch this movie again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this will be a great streaming, like, throw this shit on kind of movie, but yeah.
But yeah, so the gang in London, once they find out they're out of money, they realize that Roman has a cash belt strapped to him, where he's got, like, hundreds on hundreds on hundreds. So then they go to...
Dollar bills, y'all.
Fun zone, dollar bills. Trying to get that money. So then they go to Pete Davidson's...
Yeah, did you know that he was in this movie?
No.
I had no idea. When I saw him, I was like, fuck.
I'm kind of done with it.
I'm so over
Pete Davidson. He's in everything. It's not... He's used really well in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Yes, I was literally about to say that was the only thing I've ever seen him in where he's utilized appropriately.
He's great in the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that's true. Blackguard just went rogue.
Yeah. But I just... He's in... He's, like, just playing himself and stuff now. It's just interesting. You know what I mean? It kind of reminds me of, like... This felt very much like the Ryan Reynolds cameo in Hobbs and Shaw as, like, that agent that is in love with Hobbs. Just very weird and out of place. Or, like, Kevin Hart showing up. It just seems like another capitalizing on a famous person.
Yeah.
The scene, though, has a funny moment, which is Han eating the mushroom muffin.
The special mushroom. So yeah, fucking special funny. Mushroom.
Where he's looking at the muffin, and it's, like, swirling, and he's, like, doing the Han eating thing. Good stuff.
Not what I expected. I was like, okay, so you got... this is Fast and Furious 10. Did I expect to see a scene where Han is tripping on and looking at a muffin? No.
It's funny.
It is pretty funny.
Yeah.
I had a Pete Davidson
Yeah.
It's like, oh, guys, can you fucking do this or whatever?
And he ends up turning on him too.
Yeah, he calls him out.
He sells him out.
So then they leave. It's a real throwaway scene.
It is the one scene in this movie that is a complete throwaway. This should have been like a bonus feature that was like a cut scene.
Yeah. Cause then their next option is Han just somehow knows where Shaw is. So they go to Shaw's dojo where he's beating up the guy in the punching bag from the end of F9.
Which got a visceral reaction from you when the cars come in and hit the guy in the punching bag.
Like, that guy died. He should be dead.
He should be absolutely obliterated.
He should be cut in half. Yeah.
But
he's not. He gets up and walks away and they let him live. So
he's like, oh!
This is the one part of this storyline that I really liked, which is, you know, pretty obvious for us, but we get a little Tokyo Drift / Furious 7 reunion where Han is standing at the door. I love that he had to tuck the hair behind because at the end of F9 he has a crew cut, so they wanted to try to make it look the same, but it's not. And Shaw just immediately starts throwing hands. He ruins his snack bag, which I thought was funny. And then it just leads to a great-ass scene where we just see Statham do some transporter shit, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was interesting because, yeah, it's the post-credit scene of F9 is Shaw, like, hitting the punching bag or whatever, and then, like, Han walks up to the door and rings it. I think that it's another one of those, like, oh, man, good for you, Fast franchise. Like, you did something I didn't expect. Cool callback, but just also doing something I didn't expect that scene, that post-credit scene, to take place midway through this movie. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's cool.
Which they do in Furious.
It's very cool.
They do in Furious 7 when Dom goes to Tokyo and races Lucas Black. Yeah.
Gajin. No Lucas Black in this movie.
He'll be in the next one.
He better fucking be.
Everyone's gonna be in the next one.
Everybody. The whole family.
Everybody. Gajin.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So they go to Statham's house, safe house, and this is when they find out that the next stage of Momoa's plan is that Momoa used all their money to hire mercenaries to hunt down people that were associated with the family, and Queenie's on top of the hit list. So Shaw loads up a duffel bag with literally every gun he has and says, I'm going to go dig some graves. And then gives them some cars and a plane to go meet Dom at the rendezvous point. And that's kind of the end of their story until the dam, which I think we should wait until we get to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens in Dom's story?
I mean, holy lord.
Yeah.
This dude's jumping.
Do you want to talk about Dom next, or you want to talk about B and John Cena?
Let's briefly touch on B and John Cena.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. Did you know he was gonna rescue him from the house? Okay, that's in the trailer too.
Really?
When he's like, Uncle Jacob? He's like, hey, your dad sent me.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
No, I had no idea. And there was a moment where I was like, oh, it's gonna be The Rock.
Did you notice that Mia hit somebody with a pan again? They keep doing that, man. What's going on?
I mean,
come on, buddy. Imagine, stay awake. We're going to do a fast draft after this. Come on, let's go.
Imagine if you hit somebody with a pan, like, the sheer...
You would die.
Yeah.
It's a cast iron.
Kong! your tongue is hanging out. Everything's bad. Bad deal.
So the Jacob Little B sub-movie is hilarious.
Dude, so cute.
It's adorable. They're driving around, listening to cassette tapes. Mm-hmm. The plane sequence is hilarious.
Even though I have, let's call it, complications with Lil B and what he looks like.
Don't say that. Cut that too. Jesus Christ.
I just mean that it doesn't fit with the continuity. We're trying. I'm trying.
I have complications with Little B and what he looks like. Zach Rotello.
It's just he should be like Mexican hopper babe. Yeah, we're not talking about this at all. But man, did I love him and John Cena together. And I love John Cena being like, he gets a chance to be like surrogate dad. Cool Uncle John.
Cool Uncle Jacob.
Man. Or yeah, cool Uncle Jacob. Just the whole like, they're driving around or whatever. I love the idea that he gets to an internet trans-international flight carrying what is actually a spacecraft, basically.
Yep.
Fucking genius.
That. Sir, is there anything flammable or anything in here? Nope. Lithium batteries? Nope.
No.
No. Alcohol? No. It's really funny.
So, yeah. I liked all their stuff. He does sacrifice himself at the end and then final car chase.
Cannon car.
The cannon car is really awesome. Cool. Cannon it's very cool. Dope.
Shoots out the front and the back. Little B's reloading it, so he's an accomplice of murder, which is great, you know, for an 8-year-old.
Yeah, Little B got a little body count.
Do you think Jacob's dead?
No. Jacob's alive.
You think so?
Guaranteed.
If Han survives a car crash.
If Han survived that crash, Jacob is still alive.
Yeah.
The only reason he might not be is if they want to try and get the final movie under that. What was the budget for this? $350? That's a lot of money for
the cast. I actually think it might be kind of okay if it's a noble sacrifice. The only thing that's sad is that we just got him.
That's the problem, is that like he's not very good in F9. I wanted him to be better. In this movie, he's really good, and now I'm like, oh, I want more of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I also don't want them to do like another fucking spin-off movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm conflicted.
What are you doing?
I'm standing up and stretching my legs.
Okay.
So I don't pass out.
Are you going to pass out?
I'm close. Keep going.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
Okay.
All the seltzers we've been drinking all day are hitting me.
Yeah, man.
I'm like...
Let's wrap this up then.
Well, no, by keep talking, going.
No, no, no. We're still going. By talking about Dom's story.
So yeah, Dom's story.
This one... intertwined with Dante's story.
Yeah, it's intertwined with Dante. I mean, we got to talk about the scene where he goes into the Riddler scene.
Yes.
Because holy shit.
So Dante apparently has been living in the old police station from Fast Five that his dad owned, and after they got the vault stolen, I guess the police just quit.
Yeah, they were like, they don't fuck say this why. Shit.
Then, so well, he lives there.
It seems like the entire police division of Rio de Janeiro is like, just we're like, not fucking dealing retired. With this shit anymore. Yeah, they all just had emotional distress
from
when the Toretto gang was there.
Dom goes there, and there's like creepy music and visuals of pictures playing, and he gets a phone call on a landline. And it's Momoa being like, did you see my vision board? And he's doing...
yeah. He's it's doing stuff like that.
He's doing like seven serial killer shit.
Yeah, it's quotes like that where you're like, man, what an interesting take for a villain. Like, oh, I'm so embarrassed you saw my vision board. So it's like... He's trying to be menacing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm honestly super impressed with what they were able to do with Jason Momoa.
Yeah. One thing that happens before this that we need to talk about is the street race scene in Rio. Because he finds out that...
It's a good call.
Yeah, that Momoa does do street racing in Rio. Goes to the street racing guy from Fast Five that we watched today.
That guy gets fucking murked.
So in Fast Five, they steal his blue car... And then in this movie, he stands up to defend Dom and then explodes. Tough beat for that guy.
Yeah, it's the whole race scene with the, is like, ooh, he's like, oh, I've always wanted to race the great Dom Toretto or whatever. He's like, so I've got funny. Goosebumps or something.
It's hilarious. He's
got butterflies.
He's wearing shades on like reading chains, which is so funny. Props him up. Love the man bun. He seems like he's just wearing his closet. You know what I mean? Comfortable.
He's wearing his closet, and Jason Momoa is just absolutely chewing up the scenery.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Good stuff.
The mind sequence, though, it's like, here's the problem, Dom, with family, is that you got to choose who you're going
to
save.
So this is a very small scene that doesn't apply to the rest of the family, but he's just fucking with Dom by being like... There's two other people in this race. I've rigged both of their cars to explode. You have to pick one. And I'll probably explode them both anyway. So he's doing the Joker two bombs thing on the ships.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
So they stole that from The Dark Knight.
They absolutely stole. I mean, this movie is a conglomeration of everything. It's just a
bunch of homages to the stuff we like, which is why.
Found some popcorn in the pocket.
Oh, there's some pizza sauce on there, too. Jesus. I really went to town. Yikes.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, he goes to the police station, sees the vision board, realizes then that Momoa is going to attack Elena's sister.
Uh-huh.
Played by Daniela Melchior. Beautiful. Catcher, too.
Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. She's Elena's wrong side of the tracks younger sister. Who is very much like, I wish I was the one that died kind of thing, which is, you know, dark.
But oh, yeah.
I'm glad she's alive. She looks good.
She's fabulous.
She should play Chloe Frazier.
Wow. Wow, what a pull there. Yeah, I'm into it. But yeah, she has the whole line where she's like, I did this for you, and Elena did this, and I can't do this.
Why rats, Papa? Rats are the lowliest creatures.
Rats are the lowliest creatures.
If they belong, so should we.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the order of events.
I really don't think there's much else to talk about until we get to the very climax.
They fight on the bridge after the vision board sequence, because that's where he gets the God's Eye. And then he uses the God's Eye to find Jacob and Little B. And then Little B gets saved by Dom, but then they trap him on the dam. And then this is where we find out that Momoa has been working in conjunction with Ames and the agency the whole time.
Yeah.
And that it's all been a setup. We see the plane crash and explode, kind of. It's around a corner. The plane that's
just conveniently and enough time between where Roman's like, yo, get off the fucking...
Yeah, yeah.
Conveniently just enough time for them to jump out Indiana Jones style on a fucking raft.
Yep. Dom and Lil B drive the fucking car down the dam, and then they realize that the dam's about to explode because it's rigged for explosives.
Yeah.
And Momo is like, this will be the end of your suffering. And then that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, it shows that the dam is lined with explosives.
But we don't see it explode.
But we don't see it explode. Somewhere in here before this whole thing, we get the Giselle bit, right?
Which we talked about.
We talked about that. But yeah, the ending, it is, I mean, I applaud them. I don't know what else to say.
It's bold.
They end the movie on a gigantic cliffhanger. It's like, I'm curious to see how they get out of this. It's like Bounty Law. It's
so what's your theories? How did they get out of it?
I don't think Vin and Little B get out. Like, I don't think it's going to be anything super crazy, but
how do they get out of that canyon without drowning? You need something that flies.
I'll bring it up again. I talked about it for months. Time travel.
So you think they die at the beginning of the next movie, and then someone in the gang learns time travel, and they go back to fix it?
No, I would assume that it would be more like Vin's like, I found this ancient stone. Hold on to this, little bee. Shake it three times, and then they time travel. Okay. No, I honestly have no idea how they get out of it. The car's broken. Maybe they... Maybe Scientologists.
All right, it's time to end this pod. Zach's reached the stage where he's like, let's do a pod. And then he gets too fucking drunk and sleepy to finish the pod.
No, we're fine. We're doing good. We're almost there. We're literally almost there. We've been going for an hour and a half. That's reputable.
Yeah. That's feature length.
It's feature length, baby. So, yeah. What do you think? Do you think that's how it goes?
I think Mia shows up. Turns off the bombs.
See, you're smart. They probably are. They're, huh?
Or Brian.
No. I've seen a lot of comments about that. Like, people worried that they're going to do some fucking Leia bullshit in...
But there are more of us, Poe. There are more of us.
I really hope that they don't do that.
Yeah, me too.
But I really, really hope they
don't. I'm just trying to think of people that aren't in a plane crash currently or in Antarctica that can save them. So.
Hobbs.
Mia.
Shaw. Mia.
Yep. Elena's sister. Could be a couple of them.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, then we talked about everything else, right? Like the post credits, the post credits stuff. So like before that, we get the submarine with Gal. Then we get fucking
Hobby.
It's fucking great. Hobby.
I'm excited for the next one.
He looks great. The gray goatee is good.
Yep.
It's all some bitch. Pretty fantastic.
Come get me, you some bitch.
Come get me, you some bitch.
Yeah, he just milks it too. Yeah. Good stuff.
And that's Fast 10, basically.
That's it,
pretty much. I mean, I think, like, given the fact that we only saw it once, I think we did a pretty good job.
I agree.
Okay. So this is typically your job.
Yeah, so what's your favorite scene?
We're doing the questions.
Yep, favorite scene.
Favorite scene.
Yeah.
This is tough. I might go with... I don't think I can overstate how much I really like John Cena and the kid hanging out together.
Yeah.
I really like that. I think the moment in the movie that got me the most giddy and just made me laugh the hardest was when they leave their seats. They leave their seats to go to the undercarriage of the plane and then end up using what's in his backpack to create a fucking flying device. Yeah, a bat plane, basically. Mm-hmm. That shit was hilarious.
Yeah.
What was your favorite scene?
The race. I think it's a good Momoa scene. It's also a good Dom scene.
And it's cool to just have a race.
It's fun to have the races, as usual. A little flashback to what the franchise used to be. And I do think it's actually like a good villain moment while also being a pretty entertaining and nuanced version of something I've seen before. So, who do you think won the movie? I think it's pretty clear who won.
I mean, are you going to give it to Jason Momoa?
Absolutely.
He's making a lot of money already. But I kind of think that Jason Momoa kind of stole the show.
I really do. I really do think he stole it. Kind of like Thanos stole Infinity War. So.
It's true.
If there's time travel in the next one and there's two Momoas, Jesus.
That is America's ass. So that's the thing I got very demonstrably wrong was I was predicting for a long time. I was like, this movie's going to have time travel in it.
Next time,
but the next one.
Next time, baby.
Do you think Lucas Black and Twinkie are working on a time travel?
They make a Rick and Morty portal.
Oh, jeez, Twinkie. I don't know.
Just drive on through, Dom. Yeah.
Okay.
And then ratings and rankings.
Ratings and rankings.
Yeah. How you feeling? Gut check.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now.
Can you read our ratings for us, please, since you have the computer?
The ratings?
Yeah, our current rankings.
Oh, our rankings.
Yeah.
God damn. At number 10, Too Fast, Too Furious. Number 9, Fast and Furious. Fast.
Interesting. Yeah.
Fast & Furious. Number 8, Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw. Number 7, Fate of the Furious. Number 6, Tokyo Drift. Number 5, The Fast and the Furious. Number 4, Fast 5. Number 3, F9. Number 2, Fast and Furious 6. Number 1, Furious 7. Why did you let me put F9 above Fast 5?
You made a very compelling argument.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And I seceded so that we could get to this moment.
Well, then I would like to ask you, where does this movie go? What's the ranking?
In my personal rankings, because you always do this to me when we do stuff. I think Fast Five is easily in the top three, and this is close to that. But because of our current rankings, I'm not sure where it's going to land, because I like it more than F9.
I also like it more than
F9. But that means this is going to be our new number three, which puts Fast Five down to five, which I think is really criminal. And you just watched it again today, and you know I'm right. So I think we should switch those and amend our last pod.
Yeah, I don't know why
and
you make,
leave that above F9 and then put Fast X above 5, because that's a good compromise for us.
I don't know why you let me put F9 above Fast 5, but I would say in a world where...
I love how you're putting this on me, too, by the way. Like, it's my fucking fault.
Oh, it's your fault.
You brought it up, bitch. You're the one that's like, it's nothing good. And then we watch it today, and now you're fucking rock hard for Fast 5. You should be.
I would say Fast X would be the new number 4. Okay. So, like...
So then that would be what?
If we kept this current ranking...
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on. If we kept the current ranking, it's the new number 3. So you're right. It edges down to F9 and it becomes number 3. But I actually think that... I like this better than Fast 5 and Fast 9. But... Having F5 become that low after this is a little hard for me to stomach.
So let's just real quick swap where we have 5 and F9. So imagine so Fast 5 is
Fast 5 isn't 3, third place. F9 is 3. So then I would put Fast 10 at number 4. In that
case. Below Fast 5.
Below Fast 5.
Above Fast 9.
Above Fast 9.
I agree.
I think that...
Because I think 5, 6, and 7 is still the peak of the franchise. Until the next movie.
I do think that this movie gets close to 5, though. And I think that... But it's like... Fast 5 is just such a place in time. Like, this movie is really, really good.
It's got good O'Connor stuff.
Yeah, 5 has Brian, which adds... It does add points to it. This movie has Jason Momoa being an absolutely insane human being, which I love.
It's great.
But it also has the group being apart for a lot of it, and I like that in Fast 5, it's a lot of the group being together,
working together.
It's a heist movie.
The putting the team together scene is so good. We were so hyped today when we watched it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So I do think that, if we're able to adjust this...
We are. Because this is what we're going to lock it in now until Fast X Part 2. We're going to have to wait that long until we do another one of these, which is kind of sad.
So, F9. Fast.
So, the ranking after this should be
7. Furious 7, Fast and Furious 6, Fast 5, Fast 10, F9. Perfect. That's the top five.
That's the top five, for sure.
And I think that's a solid top five.
I like that a lot, yeah. I think that's fair.
Damn. Yeah.
We did good.
You're right. We did good.
The best is you being like, why did you let me put F9?
I mean, hey, to be fair, though, F9 slaps.
It slaps. It's a good movie. Fast 5 is legitimately the one movie in this franchise, I think, that you can watch without knowing anything about the movies and be entertained. Because it's its own thing. It's just Ocean's 11 with cars.
Sure.
So, it's just that much better if you care about the characters.
Yeah.
We get that booty walk. Did he smack that ass? Or did he grab it? Yeah.
Damn.
Well,
that's it. That's it, man. We ranked the movies. We reviewed the movies. I mean, do you care to put a score on this at this point?
So I'd probably give Fast 10 a 7. Out of 10.
A 7?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I give F9 an 8.
You were fucking sucking that thing's dick.
You gave F9 a 7.5. You think that F9's better than this?
You got me on that one. 7.5 then. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say 7.5 or 8. Like, I think it's on par with F9.
Yeah.
Damn. What a flick, dude.
I had a great time. And I've had fun doing this with you. It's going to be a while before we do another one of these, but
it's going to be a while, but I think that
this isn't the last Fast and Furious content you'll get from us.
No.
When we do our new show, we're going to do a little Fast and the Furious character draft as a little fun topic. Yes,
we will do that.
So if you're interested in the Fast and the Furious stuff that we've been talking about, we're going to sprinkle that into our main feed. But this feed is going to go a little dormant for a little bit until the next installment in the franchise comes out, and then we'll return to form and do the last movie, which will be very fun.
Yep.
Check out DCEU in review continuing in a couple weeks when The Flash comes out.
That's right.
And then we will then, after that, that'll be done too. And then our only projects will be the main show and Radiovision, which we're drastically behind on.
So. Yeah, we're behind on those, but we could also start to...
Summer blockbusters,
yeah. But we could also say Indiana Jones is coming up. I know that that's been on the docket. So here's the thing. Vote. What franchise do you want us to do an in review of next?
Well, that's a good question.
If you want to email us, radiovaniashow@gmail.com, and say what franchise you want us to do an in review of next, I'd be happy to. I think that'd be fun.
I agree.
And don't write in Shrek, Julia, please. I don't want to watch Shrek.
Audrey's supposed to be having a fiesta! Well, thanks for listening, everybody. If you like the show, check us out, radiovania.com. Follow us on all the socials. He's at Zach Rotella. I'm at Najin the Parker. We are both two precision drivers, guys who don't crack under pressure, guys that never lose. And thanks for coming on this journey with us over the last year and some change.
It's been quite a journey.
I've really enjoyed it. No, honestly, I love these movies. I love talking with my buddy about it. And thank you guys for all the listenings that you give us.
This has been a very
fun side hustle.
A very good show for us, which I didn't expect. Like, the views for each of these episodes have been very good. So thank y'all.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I took a big swig.
No, it's okay. We're going to need a chameleon.
We're going to need a chameleon. With that being said, we'll catch you later down the road. But whether you're 100 days away or only 2 days away, you'll always be our brother. Zach, give us a Fast and Furious quote to end on.
Whether you win by an inch or a mile, winning's winning.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began.
Good night, everybody.
Nice. That's a wrap.
Who knew?